Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. Okay, presented by Breaks Plus, then my question will be then to you. Will you at least be willing to admit... Will you at least be willing to admit that whatever the perceived huge difference, it's not even close between the two quarterbacks at the beginning of the season was based on a myth, based on the way that the 10 games has played out, that whatever the perception was that Teddy Bridgewater was way ahead of Drew in this 50-50 competition, it wasn't even close, that the way it has played out, that that was a horrible evaluation that didn't come anywhere close. Because if you tell me that Drew Lock's been the quarterback for these last 10 games, I'll tell you one thing. I still think they're 5-5. At worst, 4-6. That's a one game difference. That's it. And the statistics probably would be pretty similar too. Speaking to and reaffirming the idea that these two quarterbacks far more equal than it was perceived to be and poorly evaluated at the beginning of the season by people like you.
Incorrect.
I just made a really good case.
And no, you didn't.
As one texter said, Evans, you're eating stinks lunch in this argument. Thank you, Stephen Lakewood.
There is no, of course, because you guys, now I'm going to get mad and I'm not going to be nice. So I'm gonna step back here for a second and I'm gonna be nice. All right. The coaching staff said it was a very close competition. From a coaching staff standpoint, what weighs heavy on your mind? Athleticism and potential to make a couple of big plays or your ability to be on schedule, your ability to do the right things, and your ability to understand at the line of scrimmage good plays, bad plays, and check out and get out and in and of those things. And that carries far more weight. Sorry if you don't like it, because I know, Mike, you and the fans like fantasy football.
Oh, here
and
you go.
You want to see the big throw over the top.
Starting to warm up, people.
And you want to see the guy that can run around and, oh my gosh, did you see his athleticism? And that's not what coaches feel comfortable with.
But if Teddy Bridgewater is safe, he's reliable, he's going to keep the offense on schedule, he's going to avoid the big mistake, why is he getting sacked at a much higher rate than Drew was last year? And why, ultimately, has this not translated to more points per game for this offense? It's still it is still the same number of points per game that we have seen with Drew, with Flacco, with Simeon, with Paxton, with all the quarterbacks.
So
he didn't make a difference. All these things that he was touted for hasn't mattered where it matters most up on the scoreboard.
They won 5 total games last year. They've got 5 wins right now with 7 left to play. Don't tell me it doesn't make a difference. It does. I will say this though, Mike, from a coaching standpoint, have you put your players in positions to win? Have you adhered to a formula? Have you, and all those things, to me, point more to the coach, whether it's Drew Lock or whether it's Teddy Bridgewater, if all the results end up being essentially the same, then don't you have to look at the coaching? Don't you have to look at the play calling? Don't you have to look at the rest of it?
But same coaching staff here as last year, and even you have admitted that this year's roster is
better
than last year's, the best roster that's been here in the last 5-6 years, and yet the results are the same offensively.
Right. So that to me points to what? Coaches? I think it points more to the coaching of your players than it does anything else.
Yes, it does point to the coaches, but it also points to the fact that the difference between the quarterbacks, which was according to you, was a landslide coming out of training camp, even with a better roster than last year, Teddy hasn't done anything different with a better roster and the same coaching staff.
I don't know that I
ever.
That
Drew Locke had last year.
I don't know, and this is your wedge driving technique. I don't know that I ever said it was a landslide.
You said it wasn't even close.
It wasn't close on a lot of the intangible stuff, not the athleticism or the performance of preseason games of orchestrating an offense. And it wasn't because Drew's got a lot to learn. Again, put in Ripon. I don't care. Start Ripon. Obviously, the coaching staff can't stand Drew Locke.
Boy, they can't.
And that's not on me.
I don't know. Vic can't.
I think Shurmur's okay.
Well, what?
Okay, then what does it matter? Because Vic doesn't pay attention to the offensive side of the ball anyhow. How many times did Vic get asked a question? I don't know. I haven't seen the film. I was looking at my defense. I mean, how many sound bites do we have of that? I don't care. Play Ripon. Play Drew Locke. Go get somebody off a practice squad. Play him. It doesn't matter.
I have Adam Schefter from ESPN on the line. He heard a rumor.
Oh, great. Tell Schefter to stick his rumor up.
Sonny.
Here he is, our NFL ESPN insider, Adam Schefter. He joins us each and every week. He's presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Good morning, Adam.
How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing good. We're ready to fire everybody, Adam. We're scorching earth and ready to fire everybody. Talk me off the ledge. Why should the Broncos continue on with Vic Fangio and the rest of this coaching staff with seven games left to play?
Well, first of all, do you think a coaching change would do anything?
As far as fixing what's wrong, probably not. But it would be the start of, hey guys, we're changing. You know, we're changing for the future.
Well, you know, look, if they're going to do that, there's going to be time to do that after the season, right? So, I don't know that making a coaching change is all of a sudden going to inspire this team to go on some unlikely playoff push. And because they went to Mike Munchak as the interim head coach, that made I don't see that. I mean, that's me, right? To me, you know, it's been a fairly unstable organization. They've made a lot of changes. I believe that Vic deserves that, you know, to coach the season. I understand everybody's all mad over last week, but everybody wasn't mad the week before when they went into Dallas and dominated the Cowboys. And it's a week-to-week league. That's how it works. So this week, everybody's all mad, and the week before, everybody's all happy. And if they, well, they're on a bye this week, so they won't win this week or they won't lose this week. But if they come back off the bye, who do they play off the bye?
Chargers. And then Kansas City.
Well, if they can find a way to beat the Chargers, they won't be happy again, right? I mean, so you want them to make the change now at the bye, which they're clearly not going to do. Because if they were going to do it, they would have done it by now.
Well, Adam, here's the argument. And you can speak to this as somebody who cut your teeth here covering the Broncos during the glory years. The idea that, hey, you have a standard here when it comes to the Denver Broncos, or at least you had a standard. And in order to stay true to that standard or get back to that standard, there has to be accountability. And accountability means that these coaches get fired now, not at the end of the season. That's the argument.
I guess my argument to that would be this, that in this league, and I come back to this all the time, it's so simple, it's so cliche, it's so true. I don't care if they had Vince Lombardi coaching the team and they had a quarterback that was a lesser version of Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert, it's going to be a battle. It's just going to be a battle until that position is solved. And the team has made mistakes at the quarterback position that have basically made life difficult for the coaches. And so the coach has to take the fall because they haven't made the right quarterback move. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Like, so who do you bring in? Still the same quarterback situation. You're still operating with a B-level quarterback against A-level quarterbacks. And so you're doomed anyway. Honestly, the best thing they could do is get to the offseason and go see if they could go get Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson if that legal situation is sorted out and figured out. See if you go get an established veteran quarterback, compete with these other guys, and get the franchise back to what you're talking about, Mike, to its proud days. And, okay, so you hold some of the character group. Great, you just fired Vic. Same quarterback, same situation, same everything.
Hey, you mentioned this being a week-to-week league, and I don't know if there's ever been more of a week-to-week league kind of testament than the last 2 weekends. Have you ever seen a situation like we're in right now to where it just, I mean, I have no idea. Like, my picks, like, you picked games. There's just no, there's no rhyme nor reason. It is, to me, it's the craziest time I've ever, I ever remember this league being so week-to-week.
Well, if you go back and look in weeks 9 and 10, I think there were, I don't know, nine first place teams that lost games or whatever. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. And so, it's very difficult to figure. There are always midweek lulls, and the best teams are going to be the consistent teams. The consistent teams. You know who's won three straight games on the East Conference, or three straight games? The Patriots, Chiefs, and Titans. And, you know, they're in a situation where they seem to be pushing ahead in the AFC, moving to the top of their divisions, taking hold of their fates. And it's about consistency. It's about not playing a game like the Cowboys played or like the Cardinals played, or like the Bills played. Like, you got to avoid those minefields if you can somehow. And I think that the really good teams, by and large, do that. Now, inevitably, say, given the new championship years, there was the inevitable banana peel slip up. It happens.
Right.
But the team bounces right back and gets right back on track, usually. Right?
Yeah. And usually that's exactly how it works.
Hey, Adam, it's a championship-level team.
Yeah, exactly. All right, brother, man. Listen, go do your thing. We are rolling, so we appreciate you, as always, my friend.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great day. Where are you this week, Stink?
I am in Philadelphia with New Orleans and the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, it should be a really good game. Really good game.
Yeah, good for you. I'll look forward to watching.
Thanks, buddy. There he goes, Adam Schefter, our NFL ESPN insider, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. There he goes. He had fun. People on our text line. Oh, mom and dad are fighting. You aren't fighting.
No. You're just saying.
We're debating.
Yeah, you're saying.
And I was winning the debate.
You weren't winning the debate.
I was crushing.
How is we're exactly the same as last year? And last year we were 5-12, and right now we're 5-5 with 7 left to go.
5-12. 5-12 may still be in play. By the way, we weren't 5-12 last year.
Oh, 5-11?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. 5-11.
5-11 is, if this was a 16 game season, 5-11 is definitely in play.
You're saying we could lose every game left on the schedule. So Detroit's going to come in here and beat us.
If you don't at least split with the Chargers in Kansas City, you lose both those games, coming out of your bye, reset, refresh, recharge, recommit, whatever re's you want to throw in there.
A lot of re's.
And you lose those two games? After 2 weeks of, hey, we've got the whole season laid out in front of us. We got 5 division games left. You lose those 2 games coming out of the bye and go to 5-7. Yeah. I think Detroit could come in here and beat you.
Mm.
Stadium will be half empty if that's the case under that scenario.
Gosh. Oh, well.
I'm not saying it will. We're just talking about scenarios. Here's a bonus question mark. Mark, had the Broncos drafted Mac Jones. Squishy Mac, as we like to call him.
Right.
Would he be doing the same thing here as he's doing in New England, or is that a case of him fitting in the New England system? All right, before you answer that, this is a great question because it goes back to the idea that, all right, even if you had drafted Josh Allen, for example,
okay,
would this coaching staff have been able to get the same results out of him? Same thing we're talking about here with Mac Jones. So go ahead.
I would ask, you know, from a track record standpoint, has this staff ever developed a quarterback? Did Pat Shurmur develop Daniel Jones? Still question marks about Daniel Jones. I mean, I can't go through the history. He was in Cleveland for a while. He was in Philly for a while. I don't know. I don't know that history. I mean, think about it this way. Bill Belichick had, I mean, Cam Newton's going to come in and change the league, right? He's going to save the Carolina Panthers. Now they're a playoff team because Cam Newton has taken over. Superman is back in the building.
Yeah, I think it was Keyshawn Johnson yesterday. Yeah. He says, oh, absolutely. Cam can lead them back to the playoffs this year.
I'm back. So a guy that hasn't been good since about week 7 of 2018. Now, all of a sudden, he's the savior in Carolina. It's like the movie. Remember the movie, The Fish that Saved Pittsburgh? I never saw the movie. I just remember the title. Back in the 70s or 80s. Fish Who Saved Pittsburgh. I don't even know what the movie's about. He is the fish that saved Carolina.
That's right.
He's coming to save Carolina. By the way, he was with New England. Do you think this coaching staff has the onions, the wherewithal? If Cam Newton was here and you drafted Squishy Mac, do you think that this staff would have said, I see the future and it's not Cam Newton. I see the future and it is Squishy Mac and we're going to make that move. You think that would have happened here? Do you think it would be an exact, hey, listen, we understand that Mac Jones has got potential. And he's pretty smart and he's this, that, and the other, but we're striving to save our coaching lives. We're not playing a young guy. I just don't think he would have played.
See, I think you got to be careful though, saying that, you know, every quarterback only works if he's with the benefit of hindsight put in the right system. I think some quarterbacks just, they're going to play above any system. They're so good. Their talent is such. Their smarts is such. They're going to be able to play in any system. I think in the case of Mac Jones, there's a reason why so many people felt, wow, Mac Jones would be the perfect pick for the Patriots. Or when he was drafted by the Patriots, he sprinted up there to meet Roger Goodell and reportedly whispered in his ear, sweet nothing, saying this is the perfect place for me, right?
Right.
Because why? You've never heard Bill Belichick, you know, come out and say, you know, I want my offensive coordinator to be, you know, three wides and throwing the ball down the field. You know, like Vic Fangio was with Pat Shurmur, right? You never hear Bill Belichick say that. Why? Because Bill Belichick has a system in place that's tried and true for 20 years. And what's that system based on? Quarterback who's smart, accurate, doesn't have to have a hose for an arm. Knows where to go with the ball, knows what defenses are doing, makes smart decisions, keeps the offense in rhythm, on track, and away we go. And he was able to look at a guy like Mac Jones and say, that guy has all the attributes that fit perfectly for what I'm looking to do. If you bring him here and say, here you go, Squishy Mac, here's your offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur. You're going to be in three wides, four wides most of the time, and we want the ball going down the field. You think he'd have the same results here? No way. No way. So at least in the case of Mac Jones, you tell me, but I think at least in the case of Mac Jones, the system does matter. And whatever he's doing in New England, he would not be doing here.
Well, it's just
like Lamar Jackson. Yeah, Lamar Jackson wouldn't be doing here what he did and does in Baltimore.
There's a lot of teams that would have ruined Lamar because they would have tried to make him a traditional quarterback. That's not what he is. That's not his skill set. But I think it is an oversimplification to just sit there and say, well, it's all about the system and he fits that system. That system morphs based upon that quarterback's skill set. You know, there's certain things that are tried and true that they're going to do that every team does. But they're going to morph into what he does best, the way he calls it. You know, Bill Belichick has philosophies. These are what I like. Now, here's the interesting thing. Like, I've done some Giant games recently. And Jason Garrett was more of a zone, kind of wide zone type of stretch offense running the ball. The head coach, Joe Judge, comes from New England. And Bill Belichick does not like that wide zone stuff. Bill Belichick, for whatever reason, well, I know what the reason is, because Josh McDaniels told me. The reason is, I don't like to move east and west. I want to go downhill and just thump people. That's Bill Belichick's way. So that's going to be what they base their offense out of. You know, the duo play, the power play, they're a downhill gap, pin and pull. That's what they're going to do. That's who they are. That's the way they're going to run it. We want, you know, we want 600 pounds on 300 pounds and we want movement. That's who they are. We always want to be going downhill. We always want to be positive two, positive three, positive four. That's what they are. Now, you know that as a play caller, that's what we're going to do. You build your offense off of that, but you make sure your quarterback knows, hey, I like this. I don't like this. I'm good at this. You figure out what your quarterback really is good at and where he's at. And then in the case of Mac Jones, he's got an insatiable appetite for knowledge and he can handle, mentally, he handles it all. So he can keep them out of bad plays. And they found that out. And you know where they really found it out? When Cam Newton was out in training camp and they had to go to a scrimmage, I believe, with the Giants, and Squishy Mac just orchestrated the offense.
Like 23 straight completions right. or something like
and
that.
And at that point, they said, why are we messing around? Why? Yeah, he's going to make some mistakes. There are going to be some growing pains. But based on his work ethic, based on his knowledge, based on his ability to transfer what you learned in the classroom and take it on the field and not make mistakes, why would we wait around? Let's go. I think you have to have some cachet as a coach to be able to do that. You have to have the onions to do it, but you have to have the, no matter what I do, nobody's going to question it. You don't have that here.
Larry Legend sends in a text, says, you know what else you don't see in New England? A large portion of the fan base that gets completely blinded by every strong arm that walks down the street. All right, in fairness to the Denver fan base, I would say that 90% of NFL fan bases are drawn to the strong arm gunslinger that walks down the street. New England might be the rare exception because they just watched it for 20 years and they understand that it's nice, but it's not as important as having somebody who's smart and knows where to go with the football and is accurate.
New England.
But they had 20 years to learn it. Before Tom Brady came along, what did they have? They had a young gunslinger with a big arm that everyone was salivating about, Drew Bledsoe, who was the number one overall pick.
I will tell you the thing about New England that I think has just been apparent over the Bill Belichick tenure. More than anything else. And the quarterback, we understand how good the quarterback has been. Their adherence to a philosophy of, I want guys that can do, a guy that can be exceptional at something. Just at something. And instead of looking at a guy's weaknesses, what is he exceptional at? And can we put him in a position to win? And then ultimately, I want smart players. I want players that can play multiple positions that are intelligent enough to understand what those responsibilities are. And if we can get those type of players that will adhere to the coaching and the rules that we give them and execute those things, we can be really good. And I think that's where New England ultimately, Mike, is better than most organizations. I really do.
Coming up, our buddy Zach By is going to join us, tell us what he talked about in his Mile High Hoops podcast, which dropped yesterday, and why you just can't look ahead to tonight's game with as much excitement as you normally would. There's an explanation. Tell you what it is, and Zach will expound on it. Next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Mark, somebody clapping back at your idea that only the Ravens knew what to do with Lamar Jackson. Name one team in the last 5 years that has taken an athletic running quarterback and not formed an offense around that skill set. Even this coaching staff isn't that dumb. So the idea that if they had drafted Lamar Jackson, that they would have put into place the same kind of offense that Baltimore has for Lamar Jackson.
Because coaches don't, that's completely incorrect. Would they have put some plays in? Yes. Man, San Francisco had Colin Kaepernick running that offense that Greg Roman is running in Baltimore, or the start of that offense. And what happened, Mike? They tried to morph him into a dropback guy. They took that stuff out of the offense. I mean, and ultimately what happened to him? I mean, they went to a Super Bowl to being irrelevant. Come on now. You think that Lamar Jackson would have been in many other franchise organizations, he'd have been ruined. It's not the way you win in this.
You've talked at length with John Harbaugh about this. Just how revolutionary is it what they did with him? Outside the norm of what systems quarterbacks play in these days. How extraordinary was it?
It's extraordinary. I mean, John Harbaugh said he gone anywhere else, they'd have ruined him. They would have put some zone reads.
Such humility.
But he's right. He changed not only, I mean, it's not hubris or it's not arrogance. They changed everything. When they got him, they just said, all right, if this is going to be our guy, we'll change everything. Not only offensively, but defensively. Everything was changed to fit his unbelievable athletic skill set. And still to this day, Mike, you know, when push comes to shove, do you trust him in the playoffs? Against good teams that pressure him and make him beat him from the pocket? If they can do that? You saw what happened against Miami. I mean, that was a thumping on Thursday night. So, I mean, just because you coach in the NFL doesn't mean you know jack about football or you're good or you're a good coach. And there are so many, there are a ton of bad coaches in the NFL. Tons.
Tons?
Tons. I'm not just talking about head coach. I'm talking about position coaches and guys who are part of the old boys network. And there's a lot of bad, and there are a lot of guys that, you know, the arrogance flows deep. You got to play my system. Everybody runs the same crap, but my system will make, you know, my system will set you free. Come on, stop it.
The Nuggets get back to work tonight as they'll be home to take on the Philadelphia 76ers. Losers of five in a row are Philly, and boy, they've been getting torched on the defensive end, giving up 118, 115, 118, 120 in their last four games. Zach Bye joins us now. dropped his most recent Mile High Hoops podcast yesterday. Hey, Zach, this is a matchup that I'm really bummed out for this big reason. Joel Embiid won't be playing. He's in COVID protocols. He won't be playing. And to me, this is such a lost opportunity because it's one of the great debates that was raging throughout the year last year. Who's the better center, Nikola Jokic or Joel Embiid? Let me ask you, both guys are completely healthy. Both guys are playing at the top of their game. Who would you want?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I could be in any of the 50 states in America, not just Colorado, and the answer is Nikola Jokic. And anyone that's worth their salt that covers this league the way that I do knows that the answer unequivocally would be Nikola Jokic. And that's from a multitude of reasons. I mean, first of all, Embiid has had trouble staying on the court for a couple of years now. So to act like availability isn't a part of this conversation is a little bit shallow. But even when they're both healthy, Nikola's the better player. The one argument that people have been able to say over the past few years is, well, you know, Embiid plays such great defense. Well, here's the thing. Nikola has shortened that gap between those two in that department to such a degree that the numbers say so far this season, Nikola's not just above average. Statistically, and the advanced data says he's one of the best defenders in the NBA. And the fact that he is still the same offensive player who is by a country mile better than Joel Embiid impacts the game in so many other different departments. The answer to that question, and seriously, this question got answered when the MVP votes were cast, and it was such a landslide victory for Nikola. It looked like Ronald Reagan winning the presidential election in the 80s. I mean, this thing wasn't close at all. And I think that most basketball guys would tell you the exact same thing today.
Season were to end today, Nikola Jokic the MVP?
No, I think that Steph Curry would win it. Steph is off to an incredible season. The Warriors are off to an incredible season. I think they're the best team in the NBA. But I'll tell you what, I think that Nikola would finish second. And here's another thing. I said this the other day. I do think, because Steph Curry has had his problems staying on the court as well, just like Embiid, over the last couple of years. So availability could become another dynamic once again in the MVP conversation. Guys, I am not screwing around. I said this before the season started at Brothers Barbecue. I think Nikola is going to win the MVP again. And I was the only person that thought that, and people said that all this. Now, look, at the end of the day, if Nikola makes an undeniable case, people are not going to pick an opposing player because they play in a big market. These guys that vote for MVP cast those votes with integrity. They are not saying, well, he plays in Denver. Let's vote for the guy that plays in California. It's not going to work like that. Didn't work like that a year ago. These people take the vote seriously. And Nikola is off to an even better start to this season than last season. So by mid-season, when these graphs come out, the advanced data in Nikola Jokic's head is all the way up and to the right on these graphs with this data on social media that you know, Nikola is actually, in a certain way, is lucky that we play in an age of basketball where the things that he does are valued now more than ever in the history of the game of basketball. So if he makes an undeniable case, he's going to win it again, and I think he's actually going to do it. And that's not a hot take. This is a guy that finished top five in voting 3 years ago, won it last year. He's going to be a finalist. And here's my ultimate takeaway. Whether he wins the award or not, Nikola Jokic will be a top five finalist for the MVP for the next decade.
Well, you may be right. I think you are right. But I'll tell you one thing. That'll happen over ESPN's dead body. They fought and clawed and scratched to elevate any candidate they possibly could last year. If you think they want Nikola Jokic to go back-to-back, they'll only re-intensify their efforts this year. Hey, real quick, I don't know what shenanigans your partner Brandon Stokely has planned for you, but Zach, we are at Brothers Barbecue today.
I'll tell you what,
tell
man.
Me you
hey,
got that one. Hey. Tell me you got that one, Benny. Another laugh. You got another laugh.
Another one.
Hey, I'll tell you what. The arc of my emotions over the 24 hours that it happened, at first I said, man, that was really funny. Man, that was really good for our show because the reaction we got. And then like 12 hours later, I'm like, wow, those cats really set me up like that.
Yeah.
And I was kind of pissed off.
Did you dirty?
And now I'm recentered back. But I'll tell you this, Mike, I'll tell you this. I never forget. And this will come back to Brandon Stokely because I am laying in the long grass. And I'll stay here as long as I need to before it's time to pounce once again.
Oh, I can't wait.
I love it.
Oh, I like that talk.
Oh, that's like a D-Mac pound your ass.
Yeah.
I mean,
I want to pound his ass.
Yeah.
All right. That's going on today. Our Bronco fan room
Bye week special, live from Brothers Barbecue at I-25 in Arapahoe. Stoke and Zach get things going at 11. Then the panel of myself, Chad, and Cecil join them. Can't wait. Zach, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. You guys are the best. Have a great day.
All right, there you go, Zach. Bye. Wait a minute now. Put them all together now. The consummate Zach Bye laugh track. Here we go.
this guy's got a versatile laugh game.
Oh, he does.
I've never come across. I mean, he's a five tool laugh guy.
He's a ventrilo laugher.
He can do all kinds of different. He's the Larry Walker of laughs.
Yes. Five tool.
He can do it all.
He is the Rich Little of laughter.
There you go.
Frank Caliendo.
Let's go a little bit more current. Please. Be nice. All right. As always, we got to get this thing back on track.
All right.
We'll do that next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
How about that? Zach Bye. Laying in the weeds. Laying in the tall, tall grass.
Yeah.
Revenge is a dish best served cold to Brandon Stokely. You think Brandon Stokely's played that game for a long time.
Yeah.
Do you think Stoke is somebody that you can pull one over on?
Stoke's been.
Or is his radar really up on that stuff?
I think if you played, I just get the sense that if you played with Peyton, your radar had to be on your toes.
Yes.
And he played with Peyton for a long time.
Yes.
Plus you played in the NFL for a long time. So you had to have, you got to have a pretty, fairly thick skin, and your radar's got to be up all
it's time, good.
At all
yeah.
times.
My guess is he's kind of like the Jason Bourne of pranks. You're going to have a hard time getting over on him.
Right.
But he does have a weakness.
What's
you
that?
Know, you just said it.
Peyton?
Mm.
Oh, yeah. You have to
use Peyton to get to Stoke. That's his weak spot. That's his blind spot.
Right. You could have Peyton call Stoke and say, hey, man, meet me over.
Whatever.
Right. Whatever it is.
But.
And, you know, Stoke could be like, you could have Peyton call him on Christmas and say, hey, man, leave your family. I need you to come over here. We're taking a jet to. And he'd be like, kids, you're going to have to open your gifts by yourself. Papa's got to go. Right.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, he'd show up to Centennial and then be like, no, Mr. Manning doesn't have a flight schedule today.
He called me.
He'd be so bummed.
He would be. He called me on my cell phone. He has my number.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope Mrs. Stokely's listening right now.
She loves it when you do that stuff, by the way.
I know.
Gary and
he
Mead.
He loves us giving grief to Brandon.
Loves it. Gary and Mead, Nikola Jokic should not have won it last year. 0% chance he wins it again this year. The league regrets giving it to him last year. You know they do. Nikola Jokic won the MVP in a landslide.
They didn't give him anything.
He almost doubled the second place finisher, who was Joel Embiid. 91 first-place votes for Nikola Jokic. The next closest in terms of first-place votes was Steph Curry with 5. Again, 91 to 5.
Pretty close, though.
Now, ultimately, the poobahs in the NFL, in the NBA front office, do you think they would have preferred somebody else win the MVP? Maybe. Certainly wasn't a good look that your MVP winner went out in the second round. Not your MVP winner's fault, by the way.
Right.
But I don't know how the league felt, but the people who voted,
they clearly felt he was deserving of it. It was a runaway. Yeah, it was a no question vote. Would the league have preferred a team from a bigger market or has a bigger following win it? Absolutely. Just like the television executives would prefer. It's like the World Series. Do you think They had the World Series, great. All right, awesome. Do you think they would have rather had two other teams? Do you think they'd rather have Boston in there than Houston? You think they'd rather have the L.A. Dodgers in there than Atlanta? The answer to both of those questions, by the way, is yes. Of course. Doesn't mean it wasn't a good World Series, that it wasn't compelling and that you didn't follow it. But you get that television drives it. The markets drive it. There's a reason that regardless of what the Dallas Cowboys are doing, they are a segment on television. Because they're the Dallas Cowboys. Got a huge national following. Anyhow.
Actually, baseball ratings weren't too bad. And you don't compare it to 2019. Yeah. COVID ratings were all askew. But if you go back to 2019, it actually rated pretty well. By the way, you'll like this. This is important.
Yeah.
When Game 7 of the World Series in 2019, Game 7, why is going to Game 7 so important? 2019 World Series between the Astros and Washington Nationals helped Fox bring in over $400 million in total ad revenue. One game.
Okay.
Hey, somebody's got to pay Mark Schlereth.
$400 million.
For one game. You know why networks
want
pay buku money for sporting events, live sporting events? There you go. Folks, if you would like to kidnap Mark Schlereth, today is another opportunity for you to do so.
Yeah, just swing by the house.
As Mark Schlereth, blissfully unaware when he travels on Thursdays to his next NFL port of call, just waits for a car to pull up to pick him up. And he just walks outside. Doo-doop, 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 doo-doop. Where are we going? Airport, Mr. Schlereth. Okay.
They're always like, it happens every week. Some guy goes, you're going to such and such hotel? I go, sounds good to me.
You right now do not know where you're staying in Philadelphia, do you?
No idea.
No idea.
No clue. I have no idea what the hotel is.
Do you know what time you're being picked up today? I'm not going to say anything. Don't worry. But do you know what time you're being picked up today?
No.
You still don't even know what time.
It's 2 hours.
Do you know what time your flight is?
Yeah, my flight leaves at 1:00. So about 2 hours before.
Somebody will come pick you up.
Somebody will be at the house at 11-ish.
Uh-huh.
10:45, 11. Somebody will pick me up. Yeah.
So folks. Hey.
And then I'll go to the airport. Listen. And then I'll fly to Philly, and then somebody will pick me up in Philly, and they'll drop me off at a hotel, and I'll say thank you. Throw them a little tip.
I'm not advocating kidnapping.
No, far be it from you to advocate.
Do not take this as some sort of endorsement of kidnapping. But if you'd like to sort of abscond with Mark Schlereth for a couple days, let's just say it wouldn't be that difficult.
That would be pretty easy.
It would not be a difficult ruse to put together.
No. It'd be fairly simple. All you got to do is show up. Sign. With a sign.
Sign.
It doesn't even have to be spelled right. You can be like, yeah, it's close enough.
Right.
I'm good.
Mark S.
Yeah.
Mac S.
Mac S.
Yeah, all right. Good enough. Close enough. All right.
I've actually been picked up with a guy that has my middle name on there, Frederick.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Frederick. Oh, I'm a Frederick. That's good. I'll go. Let's roll.
So trusting.
Yeah.
America's most trusted traveler. Trusting traveler is Mark Schlereth. All right. Well, have a safe flight.
Thank you, buddy. Have a safe
trip. We'll talk to you from Philly tomorrow. Chad and Nate coming your way next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.